Oh, okay, wait, I gotta sign in real quick to Zoom. It's like reminding me it will expire when? Now? What's happening? Weird. Hold everyone.
We're not recording, or well, I mean, we're recording, but we're not.
Yeah, we're not in. We're not in. I just don't want to screw this up. Please be okay. Don't you dare. I don't remember that. Oh, you're son of a bitch. Okay, wait. Everybody, we're good.
It's just you and me right now. I like that you're staying in the zone, though. It is method acting.
Is that it? That can't be it.
I feel like we're getting our worst episode out of the way now.
Oh, okay. I almost said my password on the podcast, which one?
We're not on the podcast.
I
Maybe
know.
this is an outtake. I don't know.
No, it's not. Everything I say, I
I
just
have the power.
expect for you to not edit out. Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law,
and we know our rights. I don't want to embarrass myself by not knowing all the Radiohead member names.
It'll be fine. Starting off the new year, right?
That's for sure. Oh my God. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome. Welcome, everybody.
Wait. Let's do this right. This is the first episode of the new year.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Oh my goodness.
That's
we don't
a
know
great
what we're
start
doing.
To 2026.
Here we
This
go.
We are killing it.
Hey, we're coming to you guys from the past, all right? You're listening to this when it's no longer do you say Happy New Year to random strangers, because I believe this episode's out on the 9th.
Yeah. And I don't know if I've ever said Happy New Year to your random stranger, but that's not on that doesn't like that's not about that being a weird thing. That's more on me. I need to talk to more strangers and tell
yes,
them
you
that.
Do, man.
Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year. Happy
Look
New
at
Year.
Me. Look at me already. Here we go.
I'm not a stranger, Colton.
Let's pretend like this show is totally from the ground floor, just restarting 2026. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
My name is Colton.
Yo soy Roberto.
You're soy Roberto. And that is what we call you generally.
Yes.
And let me take a sip of my hop water. Please sponsor us. Everyone.
Yes. That's true. The hop water I haven't tried yet. I'm going to try the original hop water here.
Get in on hop water. Absolutely amazing.
Yes.
We have a very fun episode.
We have a fun new year ahead of you guys.
Just tons of stuff we have not planned or thought about, but we know it's going to be good.
There is some things we've thought and planned about.
You're right. What am I doing? I just want to undercut us. We're doing a good job. But yeah, we're going to open with the song spotlight episode. We're going to talk about Radiohead's 1997.
Yeah.
I wonder why I want to say smash hit. I don't know. And don't
care.
It was
care. A big hit.
Was it a big hit? Okay.
Yeah.
But
Paranoid Android.
Paranoid Android. Yes. Yes. See, already, for like 2026, we're saying what song we're doing.
Look at that.
We're being real official. And we even have what do we want to call the segment before this? When we have we had a segment like this in the past. We got rid of it because neither of us was good at doing homework.
That's true.
And we are reintroducing a new version of what Rob is going to name right now. What do we call this?
New song every other episode.
And there you go, everybody. the soon to be renamed 2 years from now, new song every other episode.
We're pushing forward, everybody.
But before we get into it, how was your Christmas, man?
My Christmas was good. I got a couple of vinyls that I'm really happy to have gotten. And
very cool.
Yeah, I got ours. Oh, I don't know the name of the vinyl, but I do know that I love two songs off of it. I got a 45 from the Beatles, Real Love, which
Those
is
guys.
really cool.
Okay, interesting.
And then, Leo, I know you're listening right now. I'm going to destroy this record. It is going to get run thin very quick, but freaking Black on Both Sides by Mos Def.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I was really stoked on that one.
What a nice gift, man. That's great. I got one vinyl this year. My wife got it for me, and then it's Beethoven Blues by John Batiste.
Oh,
which is really good. I wanted it for a little bit. It came out last year, and it's one of his volume one of his just solo piano instrumental records. And it is a bunch of Beethoven pieces fused in with kind of blues riffs and things that he's just kind of in the moment improvises. It's quite cool. The nice. Black on Both Sides vinyl, though. What a haul, man.
Yeah, I think I won on this one. But I am going to check out.
I don't think you did, but that's fair.
I did win.
It's not a competition.
It is a competition. Speaking of competition, it's looking good that we might end off. Everybody, this will be the end for a while of fantasy football talk.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. But as of right now, Colt and I are looking like we're at least going to get a last win to close out the fantasy football season.
It would be nice. It would be nice to... Yeah, just on my side of things, just barely. And just like the smallest modicum of positivity. But good. Good for me. And good for you. Good for everyone.
Good for the listener this is it for a while.
our long nightmare is over, everyone. And now we can start talking about baseball soon. It's a beautiful thing.
It's going to be great.
NBA Finals. There's so many sports talks in the future that we didn't prepare you for.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you're out of it, listener. I'm just saying one aspect of it is about to close. When one door closes, though, another door opens.
Of course it does. Man, I am very excited for this year. This year feels podcast relevant, but also just personal sides of things.
Same.
Looking bright, looking shiny. Our country and the world itself, the world global order, is not disintegrating before our very eyes. Not
necessarily the same, yeah.
But... you know, we are going to give people what they ask for, which is 30 minutes of uninhibited sports talk.
That's right.
Followed by an hour and a half of just talking about songwriting. That's what we do.
It's true.
So should we start? Do you want to tell me what our new song is? Our new song for every other episode segment?
Yeah, I totally didn't forget about this. So we are doing Dog Park.
Can we play the tape again? You know what I want to start doing? That thing that we both decided that we don't like to do.
You know, we're still in the holiday hangover stage.
Like the squeezing my hop water can. No, let's do this. Tell me, what's the song?
So it's Dog Park, $72.73. The title is difficult. I do know the song, everybody. I'm the one who proposed it to Colton.
$75.72.
Okay, I missed only one number.
D minus. See me after class.
I will. I will see you after class.
So I've listened to this a couple times. By couple, I literally mean twice. And
that's what couple
tell
means.
Me again. Right, people? Come on. Let's bring that back, by the way. Couple means
I agree.
Twice.
I agree.
Not a two few- to three.
Yeah, a few means three and maybe like to seven, but a couple only means twice.
This is what happens when we start song segments again. we are off the fucking road.
We're just starting off the new year. All right, guys.
How did you find this band? I think you told me before, but enlighten us.
Yeah, so I the same way I find a lot of new artists on Instagram. Apparently, it's picked up the algorithm that I want to hear newer artists, and I happen to check this one out. And it was just such a cool song. And I went, you know, if we ever bring this back, the new song segment, and I think Colton would dig this song too. And I wouldn't mind discussing it.
It's good. Can I almost want to look this up and but I want to take a guess already. Did this band form in college?
Probably.
I'll look it up later. And if someone's listening, they know Dog Park. Like, this seems like, and just like looking at them too, like the most like all met in college in the same dorm room band. And it's not a bad thing or a good thing. It is very like, this could be a band from Santa Barbara. Like, I could have done sound production for them at a Lagoon show. It has that vibe.
It it does feel like I know this band already. You know, they like just watching the music video, the music videos. They have like three or four that are on their Instagram account for.
I was gonna say, I saw the lyric video, so it wasn't much of a music video, but I saw that at least.
It just seemed like they did what a lot of people do on YouTube when they're promoting their music, to where they make three or four different little vignettes just for this one song. It's like, we're really going to hammer this down as our single.
Mm.
The biggest downside I saw when I first came across my newsreel, I was like, oh, this song sounds kind of cool. And so I went to their Spotify, nothing up there. Went to the YouTube, nothing up there. Went to their website. It was like, new single coming sooner. I'm like, you guys aren't big enough yet. Just drop the damn single. Clearly it's recorded. Just, you caught my interest. Now let me hear the song. I had to wait about 2 weeks to actually hear the final version of this song.
Tell me what you liked about it first.
Oh, definitely I like the riffage. I mean, riffage makes it sound like they're really getting it in. I just liked that, the guitar riff behind it.
It's a cool riff. It's funny. I told you this. I was just starting to listen to Geese more seriously, which is a band that it's kind of like without my, like, I'm just not in the mix anymore. And they've kind of amassed like way more critical cred over the last 2 or 3 years. And a lot of what I heard about them, it's like they've somehow been able to kind of mix in this, you know, like psychedelic, like Red Hot Chili Peppers with like, you know, these kind of newer like indie influences. It's funny to hear Dog Park on the tail end of listening to a lot of Geese, because I can hear more. And I don't think bands, especially younger bands, if they met in college, which I don't know if they did, that kind of funk, the riffs are always based around that kind of a structure. They're not like new, but it's almost refreshing after, I don't know, like I was going to talk to you about this later. There's not a lot of rock bands, at least like in like playing what I would recognize as kind of rock centered music.
I think that's what was so charming about this song. I'm just like, all right, this has got all of the styles that you don't get to hear that much in newer music. And I'm like, yeah, that's a drummer. That is a bass guitar. That is a guitarist. That is a vocal. Like,
yeah,
there's no real smoke and mirrors to this song. It comes straight at you. And I think that vocal melody is actually really good.
It's good. I mean, this is where, did I like the song? It's an okay song. It's a little.
Yeah, I don't think it's groundbreaking.
It's not great. It's, I mean, the melody is great. It's not like, did he do? The one thing I came away, like I had a note, and my note was for like, do you do this also where when you're listening to a band, like if you know that the vocalist is also a guitarist, you hold them, it's like a different set of criteria versus if it's literally, that's what they do, is they're the vocalist.
Kind of.
To me, when you're a vocalist, without playing guitar or anything else, I'm like, so you got, it's not even just like pipes. It's like, you're bringing a lot, right? You're the guy. Yeah. When I initially was listening to it, I was like, okay, he's the guitarist vocalist. I looked it up and I was like, oh no, he's just the vocalist.
He is just the vocalist. So the one thing that can coincide with that outside of, you know, the like, okay, he's got pipes. If you don't got pipes, you got to have charisma.
Does he have charisma? I don't know.
It seems like he's got some he's got some riz, as you have clarified to me. I didn't know that riz.
Oh yeah, this was on an off pod conversation, which we do have, and my wife and I just were every night, and my wife and I were talking to Rob, not even talking, we were complaining to him about how kids these days come up, don't know the actual words that slang is based off of, and one of those was that riz is just a form of charisma.
And I didn't know that, made me feel like an adult.
What upsets me is that people then try to define, well, you know what Riz means? Riz means that you're someone that just really like people are drawn to. I'm like, no, it just means charisma. Just say it's charisma.
Sure. But I mean, at the same time, you get rid of syllables. Thank you. You get rid of two syllables. You get to simplify it a lot more.
You know,
or as I like to say, you get to simp it.
it was good. I'm getting back into the flow of talking about these kinds of songs, because like when you're talking about like newer bands too, I don't feel like being super critical, and I think it's good. I think it was very, I didn't like the lyrics too much. Cause I think it's hard though, right? Like threading a needle of like I appreciate whenever a song is about something, I'm like, that's great. Yep. Cause there's something about that that's always kind of refreshing, right? Where it's content, like actual content. And it's hard though to thread that needle of heavy handedness and kind of clunky thematic stuff, which on my side of things with this song doesn't do it for me. It's hard. And I think with the brand of music they're playing, it's difficult to come out sounding kind of like thoughtful and intelligent when you're playing funk music. Not that funk music is intelligent, but lyrics to funk music, it's hard, man.
I guess it's hard to drive the idea home, but like you said, on the plus side, there is this like beginning to end. The song is about something as opposed to what we're going to be talking about later.
I was almost going to bring that up as like content. I'm like, and I do think that Paranoid Android is about something.
Kind of, but it's vaguely about something. It's encompassing an idea, whereas this song is... It's basically about, you know, the separation between rich and poor. There's like kind of like a power structure behind the song.
It's on the right side of things. I think we've had this discussion about bands on this segment from like years ago, right? And that we can now say years ago. We've been on multiple years, but
yes, I think we're going into our third year.
There are bands that I place into different boxes, and this box feels like a friend's band. Like this feels like, it's like if we had friends who were in a band, I would listen to this song and go, that's freaking cool, man. Cool. Awesome. But it would be in a way that's like, everything is kind of working how it's supposed to, but there's another kid language, right? There's a very kind of mid level. That's like, you know,
I get you. Which stands for middle, everybody.
Yeah. No, it means, just middling. Don't explain to me what the longer word means when I'm there. 2026, we're coming in hot.
Oh, man.
Do you remember a band, Delta Spirit?
I do remember Delta Spirit. Yeah,
this band reminded me of... I actually had to look them up after, because I was like, God, what is the name of... Delta Spirit, and they had a more kind of a southern, not totally roots kind of thing, but they had some of that mixed in, and... I was thinking of them because they definitely had moments that reminded me of this a little bit. And they're both good. So there you go. Yeah, good job, Doc Park.
The expanding lyrics.
You know, man, that's cool stuff.
What's your rating on the song?
Oh, are we doing? I'm not going to do
that. No, we're not doing
it. Yeah. 5,000 out of 10,000.
I was going to give him a 10,000.
I have to share this now because I was trying to remember the band Delta Spirit, but I could not remember the name. And I was like, what is a song that they did that I can remember? So I did Ode to the Sun, because like I feel like they had a song about the sun. And it turns out that's a Dredge song, which I remembered right after. I was like, oh, yeah, that's good old a really Dredge. Good Dredge song. And then another one, I was like, Streetwalker. That's a song they did. And I typed in Streetwalker song. Do you know what is a major artist that we have done on this podcast with a song Streetwalker?
I love when you put me on the spot. I'm going to say
a major, like top three most records sold all time.
Queen?
Good guess.
Thank you.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Okay.
So there you go, everybody. that's what we're going to do this year. A lot more trivia, a lot more putting Rob on the spot with,
I like this,
really weird questions.
Wait, did I say I like this? I meant something else.
So we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to dive into Paranoid Android and just rip in. Just go for it.
It's going to be fantastic. Bass blown. Take it away.
Blindly.
If you're looking for fun events, awesome music, and enjoyable podcasts, then look no further. The Bass Blown Entertainment family has you covered. With so many talented people in our community, it was only right that we not only bring you events, but all sorts of awesome entertainment. Follow Basebone on social media or join our Discord community to stay updated and engaged in everything. That is at Baseblown on social media and discord.gg/baseblown for our Discord. Baseblown Entertainment, bringing you more than just bass in your face.
Welcome to the Siren Songbook, a podcast where we discuss female artists, their music, their history, and the impact they've made on the music industry. Join us each month as we pick a new inspirational artist and celebrate exactly what it is that makes them so magical.
You can listen to new episodes of the Siren Songbook on Spotify every last Wednesday of the month. The Siren Songbook, a Baseblown Entertainment podcast.
No, I had to sign back in or else it was going to kick us off the Zoom.
That would have been, I mean, wonderful. We would have been able to restart and maybe have a better
job. I think we've done a good job. What are you talking about?
Okay, all right. Yeah, we've done fine.
You are really negative. Negative Nancy.
Welcome.
Welcome back, everyone. Like I took that from you. So I keep thinking this is your choice, and it's not. This feels like a very Rob choice, and I chose this, which is good.
Well, it's understandable because I've been putting off for a while, you know, choosing Radiohead. And again, a few episodes ago when you were like, I think we've done all of our like childhood acts, like the bands that we really loved when we were, you know, in our teenage formative years of being musicians. Oh, yeah. No, Radiohead would be a major one on my end.
Just to kind of clarify what I said, the ones that you and I shared, and I think I said at the time, but like ones that you and I have kind of like listened to together and like talked about together, like we're both familiar with them.
I mean, I talked to you about Radiohead when we were teenagers.
But I've never listened to radio. I've never been a Radiohead guy.
However, this year, you're going to become one.
Well, I have. So I definitely do think we have listened to a lot of those. I can't think of one that we've both kind of shared from when we were younger. But for sure, I mean, both of us still have ones that are like really influential for when we were youngish, right? To now. And I think the reason I always think of Radiohead is because of you. Like, you're the first person I think of, and
that makes me feel good.
I have long wanted to explore more Radiohead. Not certain that I would like them. I think there are things about the band from a distance I've seen that I've appreciated, and songs and stuff that have gone not for me in different ways.
They're not necessarily I don't want to say not your cup of tea, but they're not really like what you really want out of a song. Like for me, I love listening to them because they do such musically explorative things to where like the lyrics are such a sidebar to what's actually occurring in the music, because the music is so just avant-garde while still being like straightforward, if that makes sense. They try to push the envelope. They definitely try to think outside of the box for what a traditional rock song can sound like.
I totally know what you're saying. And I go through like phases, like everyone, where you start to find new things in music to appreciate. Mm-hmm. I think one song, and it's not the song we're talking about, which is weird, but like a Radiohead song that when I was younger, even like I remember listening to, it was like one of the videos they had on VH1 from, you know, eons ago. It was the Pyramid song.
Great song, and great music video.
Yeah. And I think there is a kind of Radiohead song I'm somewhat familiar with, like that is, it does click. And I do think you're right that I'm always going to come at things with a more kind of folk tradition. Like I had that whole thing with you before about like I think a lot of modern rock bands come from two different branches of a very, very big kind of trunk, right? Of like modern kind of rock music. And it feels like there's a kind of folk inspired and there's the kind of more pop / like traditional inspiration. And I think it's like Beatles and Bob Dylan, right?
Yeah.
Where you can see different bands and you can trace them back to one of those two. And those, of course, go even deeper than that. But Radiohead to me has always been a Beatles.
Yeah, they're
from the Beatles side of that.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it. But the other part is I think there are Radiohead songs that I'm not as into that, like, I mean, Creep, which is hard, right? Because Creep is, I know, like, vanilla Radiohead comparatively.
That's, I've said it so many times and have gotten looks like, you know, like snakes are growing out of my neck, where I go, like, I don't like that song that much. I think it's a good song, but having listened to so much Radiohead, I'm like, oh, that's bottom tier.
And I guess to me.
To me. I think that moment where it does that, like, junk-ung. And I'm just like, that's cool. But
there's the great, like, I think it is VH1. Weirdly enough, VH1 is very heavily inspired to me. But they do, like, the greatest rock songs, right? Or greatest rock bands, hard rock bands. Like, those, like, great countdowns they do. There's, like, 100 greatest rock, hard rock bands and 100 greatest shocking moments in music history. Someone out there that's listening to this is going, oh, yeah, those were great. And they had one on Radiohead, and it was Flea. And he was like, I was listening. I was going, okay. And then he went, chukong, chukong. And he goes, and I went, oh my God, like he's going to put his hands to his head.
And I don't want to downplay that, because I'm sure my first time hearing Creep, I was like, ooh, okay. Things just got taken up a step, you know? And honestly, that's actually one of the most, like, lyrically understandable songs that they have, to where it's like, okay, it's already kind of going down this, like, it's a cool feeling. It feels a lot like I think it was the Hollies. The Hollies have a song to where it sounds a lot like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally that, like, clank, 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 just gives it something new, a new energy to it. And
that
song is early 90s. So there is a little bit of a new thought process behind what they were just, what they just did. And it's like, oh, you don't really hear that in music these days.
And so this is where I wanted to ask you this. Like, to me, when I listen to Paranoid Android, which is our song, right, that we're doing, this is a hard one for me, because part of this, I can see, like, partly that, like, kind of like the Creep, like the more traditional Radiohead band,
okay,
like that they could have been mixed in with, like, I want to use the word progressive a couple times, and I don't know if we're okay with that. Like, would you consider Radiohead to be a progressive rock band?
I would call them kind of like prog alternative.
Yeah, kind of ulti-prog. I mean, it's funny, right? Because
look at that, kids. We were doing the abbreviating terms.
Look at prog. Us. Proggy. Prog.
Short for progressive.
And like, we've listened to bands before and gone, they're kind of proggy, which is just basically, yeah, like, obviously, like, Coheed, Tool, right? Mm-hmm. Mars Volta are ones that when we were in high school were like the most notable ones of that. But I've always kind of put them in, like, kind of adjacent to that. I hate the term art rock, even though I know it's used.
I get you.
Uh-huh. Just as much as I hate the term art pop, but it's there. It's always there. But
it's here now.
So I guess when I listen to Paranoid Android, I can hear parts of it that I'm like, clearly there's, like, a lot of cool stuff going on, but my first impulse is always, this is the Radiohead I'm not always into, like the more kind of flippant, like, but also I like the song. Like, I think the song is great, but
all right, you're giving me mixed signals here.
I know. I feel mixed.
I'm trying to flirt with you and
I'm trying to get your vibe, because I want to know how you feel. All right, let's just do our ratings now. How about that?
There we go. But I do think definitely at this time frame when this song comes in, because it is the first single off of OK Computer, which OK Computer is going to kind of change the landscape of what to expect when you hear a Radiohead album. Because before this, they had The Bends, they had Pablo Honey, which does have, you know, aspects of what you're going to hear in this song, but just not to the extent that they deep dive into this crazy soundscape that they accomplished with this. We're looking at, like, it really was such a change. They have a lot of that, like, Bohemian Rhapsody. We talked about that with Max. Thank you, Max, for being on it. But that was a single, Bohemian Rhapsody, and this is a single. This is almost the 90s Bohemian Rhapsody, which there's a lot of, there's a lot paralleling each other. But it's also
You're talking literally just in length, or what's the...
Just in length, in challenging the single status quo.
Got it.
You know, the fact that they're going, like, this is what we're going to promote our album with as a jumping off point. I mean, the label execs had to have been, you know, just tearing their hair out going, you can't do a 6+ minute song. even though it had been proven you can, it's just, it's rare. It's rare for that to be a functioning, effective single. And that's mm-hmm. kind of the beauty behind this song, is they do pull it off. And what is the term that that I read earlier, the composed through or whatever song, towards basically just saying that like there's really no, not that much repetitiveness to this. It's going to just keep soaring, going through different segments, which I didn't agree with.
I don't agree with.
Kind of like there is repetition of this. There's codas. There's a clear chorus to me.
I would say actually there's like four parts to this song.
Yeah.
Orders, right, and patterns, but
yeah, but it's just done in, it's still done very untraditionally, and so I find that to be a really cool aspect and a really good reason to choose this song as a song spotlight, because it does kind of break a particular mold that I think we were all used to by the time this song comes out.
Here's my early thesis then. Before, and likely as always is going to happen, is that as we go through and talk about a song more and more, I either have like my feelings like hardened, I go, oh yeah, that's really how I feel, or I go, actually no, totally opposite. My initial thesis is the biggest thing I brush up against with this song is how like this would be my overrated if we were doing a like discography of Radiohead
or per se OK Computer,
right, because to me, it's not even the best song on the album, let alone like the Magnus Open of like, you know, Radiohead Incomplete. And so that's where I always wonder when we're dealing with longer songwriting, which is such a different art form, right? And one that we have covered various bands that have done it to different levels of effectiveness. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess my question is, how do you know when a song needs to be longer? Right? Like what dictates a song? And you and I have like both gone out and be like, let's write a long song. Like we have had that thought both. So yes. I know there's right?
And I think we both have actually, believe it or not, listeners, we've shown the maturity of songwriting to where like, no, don't force the song to be short or long.
Exactly.
Let the song become what it becomes. And I do think that this song is a great example of like, I don't think anything's forced throughout it. I feel like it flows pretty evenly. You can maybe make the argument for a section, and I think we're going to get there with the song. But like the most important thing when it comes to songwriting is minutes be damned. Like get the song right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if I maybe cut you off a little too early on your thesis, but I'm like, I think that this song does what it's supposed to do beginning to end.
I think so. And I think this is where I don't know my own feelings yet, which is I don't know if I think it needs to be this long. And here's the thing, more than anything, I think listening to the song as much as I have, it's made me, as usual, overanalyze like intention of just like you said, like when you're going into something like obviously the kind of perfect version of this is a song kind of develops organically and you have different moods that feel like they need to be there. Like I think in our best, in My Friend Sam, we were writing songs where it was more, we just knew there had to be these different parts because the interplay of the parts going right after each other and then having parts that came back again, like there was a kind of cool organic thought process to how they are developing from one to the other that gave the song a new dimension, right? So there's something about long songwriting that can feel unforced, like you mentioned. I think part of the song to me is the way it starts, right? And then like some of these parts feel so kind of, how do I put it? Like ordinary in different ways, but having them together makes them feel like this isn't a song that is an epic long song. Like Bohemian Rhapsody, good like comparison, right? The whole point of that song is it's this grand operatic thing, right?
And the difference between the three parts within it is very, very
huge. Yeah. Huge. And grandiose, right? Huge statements. And I mean, God, like Stairway to Heaven, right? Like talk about like longer, huge, epic sounding songs. I would argue Paranoid Android is the anti Bohemian Rhapsody because it's a song that is,
that's cool.
It's not epic. It's not, and it's not trying to. I don't know
if I agree that it's not epic.
And I guess our definition of epi is my
epi. There we go. Ep. I'm gonna go with ep.
It ain't epi, man. I don't. I, Well, would you agree with me on this part? It doesn't feel as interested in hitting that grand operatic, like, you know, the of like a Queen or a Led Zeppelin. I mean, they're a 90s alt band, so they're I don't 90s think alt they'd be interested in that.
And Radiohead does have the classification. Like, they're a band of their own sorts. You know, like, they're I don't lump them in. Like, I would say that, like, Queen is closer to Zeppelin than Queen is to Radiohead.
Right.
And to where I'm going, like, Radiohead is kind of their own animal. It's something
they have more in common with Blur than they do Queen.
Sure, but what I'm more getting at is that Radiohead has a very unique voice.
I wish we could get a recording of you. Even when I said it, I was like, I think this is gonna piss Rob off, and I want to say it.
Yeah, my facial expression, I might have squeezed my face.
New Gorillas just dropped, everybody. Yeah, that's why I'm thinking of Blur.
My mouth got a lot closer to my eyes right there.
And again, in very classic Colton fashion, me saying all this is not me necessarily making any like value judgment. It's this is what the song brought up in me, was thinking of that. You. Because I still really enjoy this song. And I remember thinking from when I was younger, right, that the like there are parts of the song that I still think about, like, without necessarily thinking of Radiohead. And we'll get to those. I don't want to jump ahead. But sure.
So when was the first time you heard this song?
Oh Lord, I don't know if I could even go there. I think maybe the music video is the first thing I remember.
I was curious as to whether or not that be the case, which I would say the music video is overrated.
Oh yeah, it's not. Yeah,
yeah. Interesting animation, but the storytelling in the music video, I'm like, what are we getting at? I mean, I get it's like it's kind of like this dystopian scenario. But some of the artwork I also think is really outdated. I won't bring up any particulars on that, but just some of it where I'm like, this seems a little early Disney's. I'll put it that way.
I think there's part of it where even today there's a quaintness to it, because anything now that is hand drawn, I'm going to be in favor of, just full stop. Like, I don't care what it is. If it's hand drawn, I'm going to like it more than like computer animated, which is a thing. I'm sorry. It's an old fogey thing to me, but yeah, I mean, music videos in the 90s and 2000s were weird.
The only part of this music video that I went like, I think I get it, is when he goes and he climbs up the light pole, and he's sitting there, and the guy's axing it down, and then the angel comes in with a helicopter, which I think is funny as hell.
And that's honestly, when you ask, like, what was your first like time listening to the song? That's what I remember. Not in like with sans the music, weirdly enough, just that image of him like with his little beanie on top of the tower getting the thing.
Well, and then when the angel takes him over to another building and they go and play ping pong, I go like, oh, it's like this such an innocent moment of escaping the loud noises that are out there, to where it's like, I'm playing ping pong with an angel. This is like simple enjoyment.
And we don't have to hit the lyrics quite yet, but I do think as a nice little precursor to that, the like thematic cohesiveness of the video matches the lyrics. And by that, I mean, no.
And supposedly Tom York wrote this after a bad night out at a bar. You know, or that inspired the beginning points.
And I'm one of the people who have not read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Same.
For reasons, and also I don't want to.
I kind of want to now, because I want to understand. Okay, the character, the paranoid android. I can't remember the real name of the character within the book, but apparently he had like a brain the size of a planet, and just nobody ever listened to him. I was like, that's kind of cool, but that's also Tom York just saying, yeah, I'm that smart. That I no, I'm kidding, but.
Cut the cord.
Yeah, but I will say, so the song starts, let's get into this song going,
right? You know what the greatest thing about this song is? With all songs, they begin
it began.
And here's, and I want to just say right away, my favorite part of the song, like of all the parts, if I want to rate them, I love the first, like, if the song was just this opening, like do 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 do. Sure. With that like cool like electric drumming, computer drumming, it's cool, man.
Well, it's a little bit of like drums alongside electric drums. There's kind of this like blend of natural or organic and electronic vibing with it, and of course it starts that like fucking C minor little, I don't know what the exact term is, but where you just leave like your pinky and your ring at one spot on the guitar, and then mm-hmm. you just do like a little bit of a bass walk around. Like every single chord is shaped around, I'm planting these two right here, and then everything else is going to be built around it on guitar. Mm-hmm. I think plenty of guitarists know what I'm talking about, but I think that all sounds cool. But right when his vocals start, I think it's just interesting, you know. And it's almost a cliche idea that it's like, I'm going to sing this melody and go much higher afterwards, you know, like just how he does
that. That was great.
Thank you. But I mean, that's already just a point of interest. Like, okay, I've been hooked in. Like the hook, I'm the fish. I just bit the bait. I'm in.
Yeah, and this is where the song has like a kind of cool back and forth of. I've mentioned this before, and I think this opening is a good indicator of it. This is not like the way the song starts. There's no indication, if you're not looking at like a track number or any of that, that it's going to be like almost 7 minutes long. Like
true.
Everything yeah. about it is like, it's like right off. There's no buildup, right? There's really no buildup with regards to like long, like, you know, builds into a next section. It's pretty much one section to the next. And
yeah.
And it's, in that way, it's like very, the word I want to use is assured, right? Where mm-hmm. like, I think if you're going to do a longer song, the first thought is you want to give it a certain resonance from the beginning because you want the other parts to pay
is
off.
Is this the real life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And exactly. Yeah. Or like, and she's buying, like the whole, I guess I'm going to stop referencing Queen and Led Zeppelin.
These are two great examples, though, for a long song that turns into a historical single.
I appreciate you. Yeah. And yeah. I think that's where I'm in, right? Because it does have that cool snappy. It's like the snappiest 6.5 minute song ever.
Sure.
And the melody comes in and it is very cool. I have one thing about this first part that always bugs me. Can you guess what it is?
Let me see. I'm running through it in my head.
It's less about lyrics and it's more about melody and music and like syllables. How about that? Now they like gave it away.
Ooh, interesting. The first thing that popped in my head when you said that is how quickly he blurs. I'm trying to get some sleep. I'm trying to get some sleep. No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
It's the it's when he goes to, when I am king, you'll be first against the wall. And then with your opinion, which is of no consequence at all, but that second line, the syllables stretch out right to where.
Interesting. I you know, I'm going to bleed us into that because yeah. I did just want to say the coolest part to me is when it hits that, because this is after the first, what's this, right? Or what's that?
Yeah.
The coolest thing about when it hits that, what's that part? It's my favorite thing that, is it Colin Greenwood? I believe that's the bass player's name. He does this so much. Where he doesn't play bass throughout that first segment. And when it hits the chorus, all of a sudden he dives into that bass groove mm-hmm. with it to where I'm like, so tasteful. I love the fact. And it just enhances that, what's that? Even I hear what's this apparently in the lyrics. It's what's that, mm-hmm. whatever. Now, after that chorus, the cool thing behind the part that you're putting down is that it goes from, in the first verse, it's this ascending vocal right. melody. And then on this part, it's a descending vocal melody, which I think is kind of cool. Well, essentially a descending. You know, when I am king, you will be first. It's like it does the opposite of what it does. That, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of like that. Now, I think the lyrics are not necessarily spectacular, but interesting you say, like, is it too many or too little syllables?
Too many syllables. It's he stretches it okay. out. It has nothing to do with the lyrics. To be honest, like, I'm in lyrically most of the way because this is like a Colton truism. When a song is going to feel more abstract musically, the lyrics have to be abstract also. If the
I agree with that
is going yeah. for an abstraction and the lyrics are like real concrete, like bluesy, it's so weird. And it's like, it just doesn't work.
I understand. Yeah.
And so in that way, I think the lyrics are great in that they are, he's going for interesting images. It's more, that when it gets to that, it's when I'm king, I'll be first against the wall, and then consequence it all. Like the all the rhyme, it comes way, and I get it, right? Like it's not like I don't understand the intent. It's stretching it out to where it actually allows that bleed into the next part. But it's like when it comes to like a satisfying like use of syllables, it's so it, to me, it's like hearing someone get off time. Like I can't unhear it.
I get
it drives me crazy.
Interesting. See, I love that. I love the melody again, based off of what I was saying before, but it is, that's
essentially, he
viewpoint.
Rhymes wall with consequence. That's what he does. The all doesn't rhyme. It's meant to, like, right. That's the whole idea, is that all does rhyme with wall, but it doesn't because it's kind of blotted at the end. And clearly that's intentional, but
yeah,
in my head, it's a, when keeping it real goes wrong, when he's like, get this, I'm not going to give them the rhyme they want. And I'm like, yeah, but then it just sounds weird to me.
That's true. What is that, Chappelle? That's Dave.
That's
Chappelle.
Chappelle,
right?
Yeah. Like, I'm going to do the thing they don't expect, and I'm like, yeah, and I don't like it. It's not good.
That's fair. But see, and this is where my mind thinking more about like the musical composition, because at that point, Johnny Greenwood, like right when he hits that at all of a sudden, Johnny Greenwood's doing that the part that he did for the first, but then he adds this little like hammer on to the from the high E onto the F and pull off, and it just sounds, it's just another changing moment towards it's the expansion of this song turning into where it's like it's taking another step here.
Yeah, and it's hard, right? I think this is where there's always that kind of decision making that factors into when we want to take what is a kind of like song writing 101 truism and turn it on its head or flip it. Like the fact that there is clear intention that it does give more of a bridge, right? And like the melody actually signals that things are different. And like even emotion, right? It's about, it's almost like if someone's familiar with like cinematography, right? When you have a Dutch lens, like when you, a Dutch angle, where you're kind of shifting the camera at an angle. When used appropriately, it's to give the sense that the world is sort of off its axis, right? And it's meant to be when a character is having a kind of like panicked moment, or, you know, people who do film school know more about it than I do.
But I think I know what you're talking about, but like the tilted angle.
Exactly.
Like the, okay. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so there is a sense of like the melody is not keeping in time with it's supposed to, and it's turning the song into something different. Like we've been given this very traditional opening, and now, like you've been mentioning, we're getting the kind of vibe as listeners that we're heading into unfamiliar territory.
Yeah.
I think it's hard that this is where I think these like decision-making of that, but it's also then to me, so unsatisfying. I don't know. It's weird. This is all just like a rhyme syllable thing that I'm like obsessed with. And so
I get you. Yeah. This everything that's occurred up until this point in the song is not going to function that effectively as a folk song or as, you know, like a little bit more of a like stripped down. You need all of the, I mean, I hate to use this term, but this is a smoke and mirror song.
Like, I think it's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah.
And not a bad way.
Like they're trying to be big. They're trying to add a lot of musicality to this. So it's like, yeah, it's not going to function off of just four chords and the truth. And that's why I can see where you're coming from. But because I also going into this moment in my life, first time hearing the song, I was running into that. Like, I really like this strange this just strange like kind of awkwardness to the music.
Yeah, I'll say this too, as we, because we've talked about the what's that, like are we calling that a kind of, I mean it's pointless,
that's
maybe,
the chorus to
label these, that's the chorus to you,
to me that's the chorus.
Interest, I would maybe like a, I don't know, like I said, I couldn't. But
and that's beautiful. That's a good thing behind the song. The fact that we're not sure what to call it.
Yeah. But the guitar line is cool. Like Johnny Green with the not flashy, but
yeah, it's not flashy. He does the very all these terms are just going to escape me today. The walk down that he does on the guitar. Why can't I think of chromatic? Yeah, the chromatic walk down that he does during that part. It's so good, and it's going over, you know, over Tom York playing the G6 chord, and And I really feel bad for not bringing up the other guitarist, Ed O'Brien. Like, it's three different guitars that just function so well together and create such a cool atmosphere.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, that chorus is perfect, and it does that perfect suspense into the next part, which I think is the highlight of the song.
Mm.
That just boom, doom, doom, boom, 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 like, such a cool... you brought up the term funk earlier to me, and I'm like, this is like avant-garde funk right here. Like, just...
And this is where... That's interesting, right? I've said before, like, I'm on record now that I find this song... I'm pro this song, but it's also a song that doesn't, like, feel like it is, like, a epic 6.5-minute thing, right? It feels like it... To me, I guess it is, like, these different parts that all work really cool together, and they are unique in themselves. But I also... And this is where I feel like I'm already kind of going back to what I just said. I don't know if this part, it couldn't be by itself. Like, it has to work in this segment, because it's funky enough, but it's also just interesting enough to give the song a new direction.
Yeah.
But it can't go longer than that. Like, it has to be here.
Yeah, it has to be here. And I think when we were talking earlier, the idea that it's like maybe three different songs in one, mm-hmm. I can see how maybe this part came up separate from, you know, Tom York writing right after being in that awkward bar scene.
Yeah.
But, like, the riff, it doesn't feel like it's of a different piece. It feels like, absolutely, this is what we're going into. And it does. It enhances it. And it's interesting you phrase it that way, because I'm like, yeah, it doesn't feel like it's grandiose, but it's just such a subtle shift in the song. Or I should say an unsubtle shift in the song. Where I'm like, whoa, okay. I didn't see this bass groove, which it's not really the bass; it's the acoustic that initiates it all.
Yeah,
it turns a new corner for sure.
Oh, it definitely does. This is maybe another way for me to express what I'm trying to get at here, and this is more, I think, of me like kind of admiring what they do. Most longer songs to me, it feels like the whole move is to. I mean, layering, right? And like this song layers, like there's a layer, like a musical layering, a like dynamic layering of like getting to a longer, more kind of epic conclusion. But usually with longer kind of epic sounding songs, the idea is like the camera is pulling back and we are getting, even just like musically, right?
Things
are getting bigger and bigger. What's weird to me with this song, and I think especially going from the opening segment to this one, right? Is that it's more of a zoom. It feels more personal and intimate. Like this line is, you're right, it's freaking killer, but it's also, it's almost like they like take whatever they were building up to, and it's almost like they wipe it from there. Even the fact that everything drops out, and it's just dun, 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 dun.
That's very interesting, because I completely agree. Yeah, it's almost like that segment of the song is done. Like, we have reached this new exploration.
Right.
Yeah.
And if it was like a Coheed song or something, right? They're very much in the old school of like, okay, now we got to make it bigger, and then we got to make an even bigger part than that.
and it's crazy too, because after this part, you know, where it does the I never knew he was saying Gucci, you know, like Gucci little piggy, but then it hits the like boom, 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 and all of a sudden we're at 7/8. Out of nowhere, we got 7/8 timing just sneaking
six,
in.
Seven. Yeah, it's fun. I was just counting that off before. I'm actually kind of proud of myself, because I'm not as good as you are at like non-traditional time signatures. And I'm sure, like, I think I get that. I think I get seven.
Yeah, but it's so subtle in that moment. It doesn't feel like it's this awkward time signature. It just bleeds together, and it's what you're saying. It doesn't. You would think that if they're going to use the 7/8, they're going to make it big. They're going to make it really change the landscape we're walking down for this song, and it doesn't. It just feels like it's such a minor shift in the song, but it just adds this new slight tension. But it's slight tension, it's not major tension.
Yeah. And it gives because the other parts of this song, including the one we haven't got to yet, are I would say, how do I put it, like there's a level of kind of like softness to like the soundscape of it all, right? And like, and like when we get to that like last part, it'll be this really kind of angelic, but like everything feels textually to me very soft and kind of furry and fuzzy. This is angular and hard. And it's because like those single note, like notes like da da da, and it gives the song texture, right? It's almost like if you make a dish, if you watch Top Chef or Beat Bobby Flay, like I do all the time, you need texture, right? You can't have soft on soft and just that. You have to add like crackling or something. And I feel like this segment does that to this song. There is a, like, it gives more of like something to hold on to, especially in the middle part where it's kind of bridging those other two parts together in a way. And also, I know we have been critical in the past of when a vocalist just does the same melody as what the music's doing. This is one of those ones where when you hear that line at first, I'm begging for them to do that melody. You know what I mean?
I get you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's such a cool part. And then, I mean, I can't help with that. Here we go with kind of a creep thing. Bam, remember, you don't remember. Why don't you? I mean, that great drum fill to just kind of like pick it up that much more. This is where I'm going like, all right, we're getting some epicness.
Okay.
Yeah, we're getting some big, and you know, it clearly comes out of that part with the beginnings of hearing guitar work like you're not friggin' used to. Like that Johnny Greenwood coming in out of the, I guess he does. All of a sudden his guitar work in that, and we hit the big tremolo like, yeah, like this is somewhere where I'm like, I haven't heard guitarists functioning this way. And not that often, at least. And I just think that that guitar solo segment right before the angelic part is such cool guitar work. That's where I hear some epicness. That's where I hear some like, okay, this is why we're going to be going 6+ minutes.
Yeah, that's very cool. It's where it's Tom Morello is the only other, it's like in the same vein. Like I hear those in a similar lens, I think, in that case, in this song specifically.
Yeah, it's trying to, it's not even push the envelope. It's trying to just, the unorthodoxy guitar approach is what I admire that. I like the idea that it's like, okay, you got these pedals, you got this guitar. How can I make these things function in a way that's not a typical blues solo? That's not a typical, you know, 80s hair metal solo. Mm. Like, give me something that, like, they were going for something that is, like, so off-putting to what, you know, traditionalists would want to hear.
I think the one thing I would push back on is just, and I think this matters to me only because it's part of how I'm trying to get clarity for myself on how I feel about the song as a whole. I don't think this middle section to me, the big solo in that, it's the heavy part, right? But to me, heavy is not the same as that kind of like grandiose, huge epicness of, you know.
Gotcha.
And I think part of it is because there's no culmination in this song. Like there's no like culminating event that it's going for. It's like there's peaks and valleys, right, in terms of like sonic quality, and this is the heavy, like this is the sauce, right? This is the da 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 of Bohemian Rhapsody.
It very much so is that part.
But and I think part of it to me though is that it doesn't feel like it's culminating something then in a huge kind of satisfying way. It's just following the logic of that middle part, the da 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 da. Like, this kind of ends that segment. I don't know. Like, it's part of this to me that I really love is how there is such a technical aspect to this song because there's such great technical songwriters. And yet it also feels very much like a Picasso painting. Like, there's so much about it that feels very abstract. And so talking about it in a way to me feels hard because of that in a cool way.
Yeah, I get you. Well, I mean, and it's funny when you were just doing the all of a sudden coming out of this part, we hit the like to where I'm like, all right, that's kind of the follow up part in Bohemian Rhapsody, like in this moment in Paranoid, the rain down segment.
I think we've come across something here that those, their Queen is Radiohead. Just they're equal. They're the same band.
Plenty, clearly, plenty of critics chalk this up to like kind of the modern day Bohemian Rhapsody at that point in time.
Well, I didn't agree initially, and now I think we're convincing.
Oddly enough, yeah, I didn't agree, but somehow this conversation has flowed into that being.
Oh shoot! Can like, I say maybe a potentially controversial thing, and you tell me if you think it's true?
Sure.
I don't. This is the weakest part to me, this last part, and it goes on too long.
Yes and no. I do agree that I think that this is kind of the dullest moment of the song, for lack of a better term. I would agree with that, that this kind of just, but it does feel like it's kind of a break, and almost a needed break in the song. Like, again, it's kind of going off of the first time hearing this song. That, like, oh my god, what the hell's happening? Like, a whole bunch of different sounds, a whole bunch of different approaches that I'm not that familiar with. And then we get this kind of resting spot that I like the Baroque-esque kind of the vocals creating the chord,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then, but yeah, the rain down on me part, I'll say this much. I don't think that there's relevancy to what all the lyrics were before this point.
It does. And I guess this is where the bigger question I had coming in of like, when does the song become a kind of, you know, longer than 4 minutes song, right? Like, what does that decision-making factor into? And this is where it's a needed break if the intention is to write a 6.5 minute song. You know what I mean? Whereas.
Yeah, that's interesting.
They didn't need a break if they weren't going to write a song that is longer. Like, I'm actually curious. I need to check the time here. When does this part kick in?
Well, it is very elongated. This probably got to be around like 4 minutes, four and a half minutes.
Actually, it's so weird. I just clicked right to it. Like basically 3 minutes and 37 seconds is when this part kicks in.
Okay. Yeah.
Controversial request for Radiohead. I'm going to maybe pick this up next time you play this song live. If we stop the song there, if we stopped at 3 minutes and 37 seconds,
you'd be one of the people in the audience very upset because they would probably drag out that, like, they're probably going to do that for about a minute to create tension.
Funny enough, I think Queen does that at the Live Aid show, right? Yes, they stop. They what did we do? Oh my God.
We're discovering something.
And it's not that I think this segment is like awful, right? Like you said, but it also feels it feels the most kind of meandering to me and the most padded. It feels like the fact that they do it again to do that, like the recording part right over it and that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel like it's adding something.
No. And I guess I see that. We're both just going to apologize. So I still like this part, but I do think this is the weakest segment, but this feels like the most like kind of pasted in. You know, like just like we had this idea, let's do a long, drawn out little like kind of ring out thing, and then we'll paste this part in, and then we'll find a way to get back to the money.
And so that's, I think that's a great way of putting it. I think the first two parts have like several interesting things happening, mm-hmm. like in each part that you can kind of latch onto. It's things that are like cool in and of themselves, and then like the move between the two. I don't like the That's a lazy transition to me, but also I don't see anything that is like interesting necessarily. Well done, like you said, and it's not like I hear this and go bleh, but it's almost like you know, I always make this joke to my students and they don't appreciate it when I talk about wanting to end an essay strong. And I'm like, you don't want the most interesting part of your essay to be the first two paragraphs and the final parts to feel so-so. And I say it's the Saving Private Ryan complex, where the first 10 minutes of Saving Private Ryan, to me, are like some of the best action filmmaking ever.
Of the movie, yeah.
And then after that, it's just dudes walking around fields. I know that's not what it is.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, though. But I mean, everybody I've talked to who loves Saving Private Ryan is always just like, oh, the opening of that movie is unbelievable.
Of course. Like,
okay, yeah, but there's a lot more movie afterwards, which I find to be great. But it does drag out a little bit more. All the action, it's like immediate.
So I, but I, and
Now and also, Imagination Land does such a great job, South Park, of mocking that. Yeah, yeah.
It all comes around.
Full circle, yeah.
So, can I ask the I mentioned this to you in our phone call. Like, we go back to the solo, right? Yep. And this, we're actually... Remember, we were talking about, like all these different parts, and we're like, not really. There are three parts, right? There are three main musical components. I like the decision to go back to that. That's great.
For sure.
Do you like the way the song ends, though? Down, yeah. down.
Okay, that's interesting. It's an interesting, and this is Colton and I getting like way too like we want to be the producers in the room, going like, can't we do this or this? What would you rather do? Because I understand like it does have such a sharp ending.
It's all intention, right? It is the decision to go back to that heavy part. It makes, like, I think 10 out of 10 times a band will make that decision because we've established that already, right? Yeah. We've established this is the kind of heavier, like, and arguably you could write a new section, but when the song is ending, it would feel weird to just put in a new section like that. Just cuts, right? Especially when you have such a cool part that you can bring the listener back to. That part makes tons and tons of sense. I think this is all about, one, where the song is on the record, right? Like, that part of it makes sense to me. Because this is track... it's track two, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I... For
we got
life
a lot of
the
record left.
I cannot remember how Subterranean Homesick Alien starts.
Boom, boom, down. Boom, boom, down. Mm-mm. Yeah, so, that's not going to tell you enough. Me humming it, but
no, I'm hearing it in my head.
It doesn't
now.
Sound like Bob Dylan. I'll put it that way for everybody.
So that part of it does make sense, right? So on the album, I think that's a business decision. It's kind of like letting the guy go to the lane.
Well, the album's also a listening experience. They made the decision to release this as the single ahead of what's the follow up single?
Karma Police.
God, we've covered that song. Well, okay, we kind of covered that.
I
played it at a show for my friend Sam. Yeah, but but regardless, like, they chose this to be ahead of that because they wanted to kind of forewarn the listeners that it's like, this is kind of closer to what type of feels you're going to get from this upcoming album.
Yeah.
So, like, it does fit within that, but... yeah, I don't know how else I would end this song. I feel like it's almost cutting the idea short to where there almost is more intrigue towards like, what the fuck is this album going to be?
So I guess this is the tricky thing, right? Because when it comes to like impacting a song at a certain level to better serve the album, I am like always, I think, going to be on that side because I'm a lover. I think like you, we're at like, I'm chasing.
I'm a lover
album.
Too, man.
Yeah. Most of the time, not a fighter, right? But like,
not a fighter.
No, but like when you can do something to a song, impact it to where it's going to create a bigger cohesive work that is the album, that's cool. And I'm always, I think, going to be in favor of that. But I think what's funny is much what I've said, the way that song ends, it undercuts like any moniker that this song is kind of reaching for a kind of bigger epic statement. And I honestly like that. It's not epic to me. It's not anti Bohemian Rhapsody, as I've mentioned. The way the song ends feels that way. It almost feels like a middle finger, right? Where it's like, we're just getting into it. And they're like, no, we're done. We don't want to do this anymore. Like, we could have stopped the first time we did this part and we chose not to. We gave you that rain down segment for like 2.5 minutes.
We're
going right back to that same part again for little to no payoff, but that's kind of funny. I kind of like that.
It is kind of funny, but it's difficult for me to say little to no payoff because I'm like, that the guitar works in that moment are just, it's so unique to me that I'm like, and so like,
but it's frantic. Is it the same solo? It's the same solo though, right?
It's not the same solo. There are subtle differences.
Okay.
But I guess it's the same energy. But it's still just like, I think it's almost like a piece that you have to archive this as a moment of guitar work, you know, like of a such a different approach, that something that was so new at the time.
Yeah.
Especially in, like, you know, in popular music.
Totally.
Yeah. You know, this was pretty different. Think of all the different artists who were, all the different rock bands who were playing at the time. And great guitarists, great musicians. Mm-hmm. Johnny Greenwood, this was him, like, really reaching that point of going, like, no, I'm different, man.
Yeah.
Like, I got a different voicing for how I use this guitar.
Yeah. The context is, I totally agree with that. The context is very important. I'm interested to get into our third segment because I think I've talked myself back into it's, I still don't think this is, like, top five of my favorite Radiohead songs.
Yeah, but probably the same.
I like the song a lot.
Yeah, I really love it. And honestly,
they talked
about how in the studio they were all laughing because at one point I think it's like Johnny Greenwood was goofing around on the organ for this last part, and they were all just laughing at how stupid it sounded and how silly it sounded. God bless you guys for making the decision to not do that. Just, like, at the very least, keep it to the guitar, keep it to this rocking, aggressive vibe.
Yeah. And well, yeah, I that actually plays very nicely into what I think my kind of final thoughts are. But let's hear from the Blamley.
Let's hear from the Blamley.
To get that Blam, the Blam fam. I'm bringing that in now. How about that? And then we'll give a out of 100 song rating.
Why do you always laugh at that?
It's
just what we have. It's just what we have. Blamley, take it away.
Take it away.
DJ Brood is happy to bring you a proper session of music listening at the beginning of every week on Twitch. With rotating themes showcasing new music, hits of the past, and specific genres, there is most definitely something for everyone to enjoy. Tune in every Monday from 5 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time as he broadcasts nothing but musical goodness live from the comfort of his home to the comfort of yours. Bedroom Radio, where there are no Monday blues, just Monday vibes. What happens when you get a bunch of obsessive music lovers sitting around a table and talking about every aspect in music? You get the Untitled Mixtape. Join Dango, Lewis, and Lorenzo in this educational but enjoyable podcast that encourages everyone to branch out and expand what they listen to. From deep dives to letting you know what is a bop or flop, the Untitled Mixtape boys are sure to take care of your music needs every Wednesday on your favorite podcast platform. The Untitled Mixtape, a Bassblown Entertainment podcast.
Right. I think I got an idea. All right.
You got an idea? Okay. Yeah.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. I felt bad. We usually alternate the welcome backs, and I was actually panicking. I was like, did I do that before? I don't know if I did it before.
Don't remember. I don't even care about altering. Just as long as we get back.
We got to get back, man.
We got to get back.
Is that from Lost? We got to go back.
That, maybe.
That's
a show, right?
This has been the late 90s, early 2000s retrospect, everybody. Welcome back to us. So we are now going to give a 0 out of 100 song ranking. Is there a 0 song ranking that we could think of?
Even want to call them out. I don't want to call out any of the artists.
I mean, I'm sitting here right now, so I appreciate you not wanting to call me out.
It wouldn't be you, buddy.
I've written at least one 0 song. Anywho.
I don't think you meant. Maybe so, a 2.
That's fair. That's so fair. I do usually have to remind myself what I have given other artists, but I actually feel pretty okay with this one. I think I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Let me hear it.
Oh, okay. Wait, here we go. So I actually want to point something out.
Okay.
You would maybe be proud of me. I'm not sure. We did like an hour close to, right? Talking about that song.
Yep.
Yeah. Like 40, whatever. So how often did I bring up lyrics? Like, I brought it up initially, right? That sure. They were abstract.
We talked a little bit, but that's also, I mean, it's difficult to, sorry, Tom York, but as a lyricist, you're not really in my top 50.
No, I agree. Although, again,
as a vocalist, though, much higher.
Great vocalist. And even on this record, I think this is where, like, when I hear other Radiohead that really speaks to me, like, I love, what is it? No Surprises.
Great tune.
I love that song, right? And like that.
Short and sweet, too.
Oh, man. Like, Karma Police is a good, like, I'm sure that would be another, like, overrated candidate for a lot of people for Radiohead. And, like, I've heard later Radiohead that I've also really liked. Funny enough, I think the first Radiohead that I remember really being aware of when it was coming out was Hail to the Thief. And
which is my favorite album by them.
And there are tracks on that record I've heard where I'm like, I get it, right? I can, yeah. I totally get, and like Burn the Witch, like, I can, I'm just naming songs at this point. What I'm trying to say is there's a version of Radiohead where I think the lyrics and everything else kind of comes together for me. And gotcha. To me, those songs are also tight. Like there's a tightness to, not necessarily like the feeling of it. There's always a kind of loose quality to certain ones I like. Like Pyramid Song is a good example, right? That song is a vibe more than anything.
Very much so, because it's drony.
For sure.
It takes a patient listener to understand what's going on here.
And yet, it also then weirdly, compared to Paranoid Android, like there's something about the way the lyrics, it feels more traditional. It feels more classic, right? In a weird way. All this to say is that I still don't find Paranoid Android to be, as I have heard, the kind of like the magnum opus, like the, like, I would not show this to the alien for Radiohead. Like, I think it is a cool, how do I put it? It is just one thing that they feel capable of that I have heard that I think like,
I like
is
that.
Like a cool way to hear and listen to it through that lens of like, wow, I don't think a lot of bands that are capable of this other stuff could also put out a song like this and it not feel like a total aberration, right? Like there are definitely bands where they're like 330, 330, 330. And then they just choose to do an 8 minute long song and it's obnoxious and weird. And it just feels like they threw a dart and was like, that's the one. So Green Day. But I, all this to say, 72.5. And even in talking through that, I added the 2.5. It was a 70 initially. And I talked myself in real time to a 72.5.
All right. Right on. Yeah, because I would show this song to the alien. I think that this is quintessential Radiohead from their quintessential album.
Interesting. Okay.
You know, me and my bandmate, his favorite album is The Bends. My favorite album is Hail to the Thief. But I do think that this is the most important and the most this is Radiohead album, and this is the song from it that I think that the alien would at least get an idea of what's in store. Like I said, I think that their intentionality behind releasing this as a single was a very smart move, because it kind of changed the landscape of even what Radiohead fans at that time, what's to be expected, you know. So I think I would give this song, I'm going to give it the 85. I think it's that important of a song from that time frame, from the 90s. I think that this is one of those songs that you got to put in the top 10, top 20 of actually important songs that played a big role in, I think, you know, in rock alternative history.
And we have covered what 90s, I mean, I don't know, it's gonna be hard to do all of it, but like the big ones have come up to mind is like Green Day, Nirvana, Weezer, right? Yep. And it's we've had this discussion of like, it's so crazy to think these bands are basically putting out records all at the same time. It's also just a good reminder that in 2020, like in the 2020s especially, rock music in a very like larger commercial sense, like mainstream rock and roll, feels dead.
It feels like it's dead.
Like Geese.
At least absent.
Yeah. Absent, yeah. Geese is a band that I, weirdly enough, and like he gets compared a lot, the lead singer of Geese, to Thom Yorke with like the falsetto and that. Okay. And I think there are cool things that could happen, but to go back to the 90s again and be like, man, like hip hop was better. Rock music was better.
Like, it feels like it. I'm not trying to say that we're out of touch, but it just feels like it, man. I don't know what's great rock music from the 2020s.
The other way besides I would put
Default
it is
American
that,
and Cold and Sailor.
Well, I clearly, I don't even know what I am anymore, but I think it's that in the 90s, it still felt like there were new places you could take rock music to. And this song is a version of that. And I think after that, I don't know if rock music has been taken anywhere new, rather than it's just been giving like different rehashes of the past in like different ways. And so this song and like others we've talked about, it's like both kind of wistful to me. It's like, man, remember when like the biggest musical act in the world was a rock band, which for the record, everyone, I am not like, there's a very weird touchy racial thing here that I'm very aware of, which is like, well, I should get a rock band to play the Super Bowl. And like the code there, the dog whistle racism is, why are all the white guys playing the Super Bowl? Who gives a crap about that, right? Obviously. Yeah. But it's more the rock music in all of its roots, right? The blues, right? And all these like very cool multicultural ways that it comes about. Like, I think it's one that we both are really close to. And it feels absent both in like cultural relevance, because it's also radical, right? I actually weirdly had this thought. Like, this song has some cool kind of anti-consumerist vibes to it. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's been a long time since we've had a major musical act that's also felt politically radical, or was like, what, you know what I mean? Like, does that make sense? Like, it kind of
it does. I miss the pushback music, the music that really tries to just like the counterculture.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, that's the unfortunate thing behind when we talk about like how hip hop was better in the 90s, even in the aughts. Feels like hip hop now is the genre. Like, this is the popular genre, to where it's like, we need to push against this now because hip hop is not as dangerous as it used to be.
And so much of it now is more, it's listenability, right? And I've like read articles that it's not even just with music. It's even just culturally. Like, kids now are more, and to their credit, like, this is like, with all the empathy in the world, they need jobs because we need jobs. And so it is not, we came out of the 90s. I've said this a lot of times. My ethos has been instilled in me. Never sell out. Die before you sell out. And like self-sabotage before you sell out, because that is like a second death, right? That is the, like, all of our musical heroes for the most part are not ones that are living or successful today.
Yeah, like, I get you. Die a martyr, you know, like, we'll appreciate it in what, posthumously.
But then the whole point is that, like you said, like the counter. And is that in itself is important. Like, we need that pushback. I like how you phrase that. And nowadays, I don't think that's it. It's more music has to hit a certain, it's more about marketability, right?
Yeah.
Hit a certain unique note, be just counter enough to be unique, but also familiar. And
make sure you can cash in.
Yeah. And it's a bummer. And like, I am not an artist that is seeking to be groundbreaking. Like, I recognize that in myself. I'm seeking to do new things that I am not used to whenever I can. But I also, I feel comfortable working from a tradition. And yet, like I said, I cannot imagine trying to be a bunch of young people in the band today. Like, I don't know what that feels like.
I'm sure it's fun and probably not overthought.
I hope so. That's the thing, is I hope so, right? Like, what I hope is that in whatever iteration it is, like, not just rock music, right? Like, any of those, I hope it's still like a bunch of like dweebs in a garage, whatever version of that is. But I don't know how we got here, but radio, it feels like a natural ending point.
It does. It was a great listen. I mean, I love this song. I love this band. I love music. So that's why we're a little impassioned when it comes to the really behind the scenes details behind what, because I mean, music is supposed to just be, you listen to it, you like it, right? But Colton and I are, we can't help but analyze it a little bit further.
Yeah.
And well, I think most people do.
I would think so. Like, that's the thing. Like, this song being as big as it was and as weird as it is, that's where I think a lot of this comes from, right? It's like, man, were we ever going to get back to this? I don't think so. Anyway.
We'll see. I'll always, I don't know, maybe lie to myself and just say, no, the future's bright. Future's bright. Sure. Yeah, it's bright.
Let's say that. And you know what? I'm going to agree with that, because you're going to tell us what we're listening to next.
Yes,
for Song Spotlight. Next episode, for the record, everyone, is The Format's Dog Problems, which I was listening to it again and going, man, I love this record. Man, this record is freaking good.
I have zero familiarity, so this is going to be something completely new to me. I'm looking forward to it.
I do think you will like this. I think there are songs that you are going to maybe brush at. Like, I think they can get syrupy sweet and like the most pop, like capital P, you know, and very Beatles.
I know who the front man is. Yes, yeah.
But there's some cool stuff I think you'll like. But you're going to tell me what new song we will discuss in our next Song Spotlight episode.
Not new song.
Brand new. Spanking new. Spankin' recorded new. Yesterday. Yeah.
This is an oldie, but a goodie. It's not even really I don't know how to classify oldie. It's an old song. Mm-hmm. This song reminds me of you so much. In so many ways.
I don't like this. This is already uncomfortable territory.
I remember seeing you playing this song with somebody. Not live. Just out of practice. I was just like, God, I love that song.
I played this song out of practice. So this is a song that I have played out of practice.
Yes. Yes.
For what band?
Not going to tell.
That would give it away. Interesting.
What's a good hint from it? I'm going to do what you did to me. I'm going to just say words from the lyrics.
I think it's fair.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to start with... Oh, this is really hard, actually.
Do you want to do it as Santa? Would that help?
Lullabies.
That's good. Yeah. Oh. I could also be Santa. That would be.
Let's just be two Santas.
Oh. I can't.
Lullabies is the first one, Colton.
Oh, thank you. I got
life.
Lullabies and life. Wow, we're cruising. The first
lullabies
two,
is can I quickly a big say, stretch to recognize this song.
Okay, I would say the first two that come to me instantly. Jack Johnson and Queens of the Stone Age.
It is neither one of them.
And I think those are old enough. On opposite, complete opposite ends of the spectrum. There are no bands further left or right than those two.
That's a good point. How did you do this the whole last segment? I mean, Santa.
I didn't, is the key.
That's true.
Yeah.
Let me bring back Santa.
All right.
Let's go with... I'm a lot like you were.
Oh, yeah. You know what's so funny? I guarantee you, when you said this is a song you used to play at practice, I was going to be like, oh, Old Man. I was my first guess, but I didn't want to take away your fun. Old Man.
Lot like me, Colton. I'm going to give the microphone back to Rob.
I
feel like I added an accent at the end of that.
I feel like I could tell the story now or later. But it's just like what Neil Young always opens this song with. Any like storytellers or like by the way, yes, I'm so excited. Old Man.
I was torn between two songs, and I think you're about to say the other one that I was really close to, but I just wanted to go with History.
This song is so
with beautiful. Our history. Sorry,
but and it's very like the Heart of Gold concert performance he does, which is like one of my favorite concert.
It's one of the best sounding harmonicas I've ever fucking heard.
Oh, that whole thing. And like when they have like all the guitar players on the stage and he goes, is there a guitar player in the house? I love it. That whole, like, it's a
all right, fuck it. We're doing Heart of Gold. No, all right, we'll do Old Man.
But that concert movie, if no one's seen it, it's so good. And that record that it's partly on, the new one, or at the time, the new one is also Prairie Wind, is amazing. But he always tells the story of like, buying property after he's gotten successful, and like the old man who's like the caretaker of the land is like, oh, how is a young man your age going to be able to buy this kind of property? And Neil Young goes, well, you know, it's a funny story. And the old man goes, well, ain't that something? Like, it's the most nothing burger of a, it's not a story. And every time he tells it, I'm like, none of you said anything of substance. There's nothing there, but it's so good.
Well, and I figured this song would be talking to you and me now.
Man, this feels very appropriate given what we've just done in the past.
Old Man.
We're sorry. I don't want to be old and bitter. I don't feel old and bitter.
We're going to push back this year. We're going to go through our midlife crisis. You get a Lambo. I'm going to get a Ferrari.
What Hot Wheels would you like if your Ferrari can get you that?
That's true. Man. We're going to play with Hot Wheels this next year.
How's that for counter, everybody? We're not old at all. So... I'm excited for that. I'm excited to talk to you about the format next episode. And also, just, man, here's to 2026.
Again, people, we're talking to you from the past.
Yeah, right. We don't know. The world could flip over on January 1st. No one will hear this.
Cockroaches.
Oh, yeah. Bummer, man.
The roaches will push forward.
Can we, right, as the music is coming in and this alley is fading out, can I just say, everybody, thank you for joining us in this new year. We're excited.
Yeah. It's going to be a good year. Don't let the opening segment deceive you.
That's right. Everybody, thank you. Be safe. And when the going's going, the tough
is toughen. It's